Welcome to the Mahogany Books Podcast Network, your gateway to the world of African American literature. We're proud to present a collection of podcasts dedicated to exploring the depth and richness of African American literature. Immerse yourself in podcasts like Black Books Matter, the podcast, where we learn about the books and major life moments that influence today's top writers. Or tune in to Real Ballers Read, where brothers Jan and Miles invite amazing people to talk about the meaningful books in their lives. So, whether you're a literature enthusiast, an advocate for social justice, or simply curious about the untold stories that shape our world, subscribe to the Mahogany Books Podcast Network on your favorite platform and let African American literature ignite your passion.
What's good, family? I'm Nikisha Elise Williams, the host of Black and Published Podcast and the author of the forthcoming novel, The Seven Daughters of Dupree. This historical fiction novel is about the secrets kept between mothers and daughters over the course of seven generations and is told backwards in time from 1995 to 1860. The Seven Daughters of Dupree will be released on January 27th, 2026, but is available for pre-order now. So if you can, please consider pre-ordering The Seven Daughters of Dupree today.
First of all, good evening and welcome to Mahogany. Hey, I saw y'all earlier today. Welcome to Mahogany Books. My name is Ramonda Young, and my husband, Derek, and I own Mahogany Books. And we created Mahogany Books 18 years ago. At that time, in our one-bedroom apartment in Alexandria, Virginia. And we just had a dream and a goal to make Black books accessible. I was just telling our amazing author today that I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there were not Black bookstores in my neighborhood. And I actually grew up maybe 1 or 2 miles from Black Wall Street, and I never knew Black Wall Street existed. And when you talk about the epic center of Black innovation, entrepreneurship, thought leaders, 2 miles from my house, and never had it taught in schools, it's a travesty. So when my husband and I were talking about opening up a bookstore, and this was his dream to open up a bookstore, it really resonated with me because nobody else should be not be aware, not informed of the great things that Black people have done. I always think if I had grown up knowing what those Black people had done, how much taller I would walk, how much more confident I'd be, and how much more bolder I'd be. I'm bold already, but I would have been next level probably bold to know that. But I just think of all the other young people who would have been that much bolder if we were exposed to those things when we were growing up. So this is one of the reasons why Mahogany Books exists, so Black people can have access to our stories, and we will never leave it up to somebody else to make those books accessible. So you're sitting in this space that was once a dream in our mind. So it's always just crazy every time I walk into the store, even though it's been a lot of years, that this was something that was in just our mind. I mean, my husband and I would go out to dinner and take paint samples with us and talk about it over dinner. What color should, what does mahogany look like, and how do we want the space to feel? So I just want to say thank you to all of you for coming out, for being part of this vision, for being part of this night that I'm so excited about. So yes, enough about me. Let's get into it. So tonight, I am excited. I got all my notes here, so I won't forget. Tonight, I'm thrilled to have with me an entrepreneur, a designer, a thinker, an intellect, an artist, a teacher, and a lover of Sonia Sanchez and Jill Scott, or her, let's say the shopkeeper, let me put it like that. And I'm just thrilled to have somebody. She's dear to me. And I'm thrilled that you all get to meet her and talk to her and get to know her in this amazing novel, her debut novel, that's here in the, I hear y'all. Yes, It's Me They Follow. Yes. It's Me They Follow, and I am just thrilled. She has an amazing bookstore, several bookshops. Let me back up, plural. Can y'all say shops? Shops. I'm just checking. Shops in Philly, in New Jersey, in Paris, and soon in Africa, okay? I saw how you're doing in Nairobi. And I'm just thrilled to have her here to discuss this book with us. So please help me welcome. Oh, wait, she got an MFA from Drexel. Let me be clear. She's not playing around, okay? But please help me welcome up the amazing Janine A. Cook, Harriet's Bookshop in the building, author. Yes, yes, yes.
Yay. Y'all just don't understand how, this is, it's like you watching your dream come true right before your eyes. It's, surreal.
Aww.
I'm like, if I cry, I don't mean it.
Come on, we got fake lashes on. We can cry a little bit.
I put sunglasses on.
A little something. How you feeling?
Seriously, it's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's seriously surreal.
It's like, wow, this is really, really happening right now. In my first place, I'm so glad it's with you. Because you're like the safest place I could think of.
Oh, girl, don't make me cry this last show.
No, seriously, you know, people don't know, like, behind the scenes, but you open a bookshop, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going, you know, you just don't know what you're getting yourself into. And then you get a call from somebody like Ramunda, who's like, you can do this. You got this. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Like, none of that, like, weird stuff or, like, you know, it's, like, totally, like, total empowerment from the very beginning. She's come and visited and made sure I was straight. She's called me when things looked a little shaky or if things didn't, you know, I ain't heard from you in a while. And so... And she does it for all of us, like for a lot of us, I'll say. At least the people that I've encountered on the walk, I've also heard the same. So thank you.
Thank you.
For sure.
But honey, let me tell you something about, we're going to get into the book, but this Harriet's how you're showing out there. Janine, did you ever think, let me get to my script because I'm getting all hyped up. Okay, I want to make sure I answer all the questions, right?
We have talked about all types
let me stay
stuff.
Focused,
we were back there,
right?
In Oklahoma, we was in,
Let me go back first. I know you enjoy Sonia Sanchez and really... just admire her. And about 12 years ago, I was working at a community college and we hosted her. And I just wanted to make space to open up with a quote from her that really sticks with me. And I wrote it down in my little phone back then. I was sitting in the audience and it just made me just pause. But anyway, she says, I will wear my day well so that when it gets to you, you will enjoy it. I'm going to wear the day well. When it gets to you, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
So anyway... that resonated with me because how we show up in this world, so many things that are going on. Mm-hmm. So when you referenced her all through your book, I was like, yes, because she made such an indelible mark on me. So I just wanted to make space to open up with that. So why is Miss Sonia Sanchez somebody who's dear to you?
Yeah, you know, so when I'm on the walk, there are people who get sent my way. I don't know if that's everyone has that experience where it's like I'm constantly sent guides, I believe. Mm-hmm. And especially in new territory, right? And maybe that's just what I ask for, and so that's what I receive. But I remember being younger and writing in journals, like, I'm going to meet Sonia Sanchez. I'm going to meet Sonia Sanchez. I'm going to meet Sonia Sanchez. And then to have had the opportunity to not only meet her, but to, like, have her, like, you know, speak blessings over my life, to call my phone and tell me, you know, this is what you need to be thinking about, to tell me. Sometimes, you know, she'll call me. Oh, sorry. Sometimes she'll call me and say, okay, sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
Oop. But anyway, it's my first time.
You're doing fantastic.
Yeah, but she'll call just randomly and say things like, you know, I'm gonna tell you about the time me and June Jordan can't drive. She couldn't drive. And I'd be like, Mama Sonia. She'd be like, yeah. She would just go. You know, she'll just tell me the stuff you couldn't find anywhere on the internet. And that feels so safe and so special to be considered in that way, to just be somebody who she's even willing to share with. And she's a gift, right? And then she's a gift to our city. Philadelphia is, so this book is very much steeped in Philly. Mm-hmm. And she's our literary legend that's living, a living literary legend right before our very eyes, who has, you know, it feels like seen it all, done it all. And so it just felt like an opportunity to also make sure that I played proper homage to her and the work that she's done in the world and what she's done for me, you know. So she's a special human. And for folks who don't know who she is, she's 91.
She still be moving.
She will get up here and because when I got back from Nairobi the last time, so I was talking to her and they had me do an interview with her with this group, and she was like, Janine, you need to do an all night event. I said, Miss Sonia, how are we gonna do an all night event?
Right.
You're 91, and she was just like, that's what's needed. These are the times, and that's what's needed. And I was like, yes, ma'am. You know, like, what you going to say to your 91-year-old literary legend besides, yes, thank you, I will do that. So, you know, that's what you do, you know.
I can only imagine how proud she will be if she hasn't read it already, but just to know that this exists, and she's woven all up and through this thing. So it's just an honor to read that and to know that about her. I do want to open it up really quickly with another...
And one of the things that didn't make the book, but I realized it made the audio book, was it starts with her quote on the audio book, where she says, "Don't ever go looking for love, girl. You wait. Mm-hmm. It will come. You know, don't you ever give up on love." Absolutely. And so, I don't know, I guess the permission thing, but somebody slipped it through.
Of course they did. But this is dope. I want you to read this quote by Harriet Tubman. You opened your book with it. I just thought it was amazing, too. And I'm going to ask you why you chose that quote out of everything.
Yes. Okay. So the quote is, "When I found I had crossed that line, I looked at my hands to see if I was the same person. There was such a glory over everything. The sun came like gold through the trees and over the fields, and I felt like I was in heaven." Because that's how this feels to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this very moment, right? Yeah. And that was her quote from...
Your ancestor's story is proof that strength and dignity endure even when everything else is taken away. When it comes to honoring that legacy, your privacy should never be in question. At AfricanAncestry.com, your story and your information belong to you. We destroy every DNA sample and never sell or share your data with anyone. Discover where in Africa your story began accurately and safely with AfricanAncestry.com.
That's her, what she felt like when she experienced freedom. And that's what to me this journey feels like. That's what this book feels like to me, is like, you know, the very act of experiencing heaven on earth is living out your dreams.
Ooh. Okay, yeah. Okay, come on. I need to be writing down my own quotes. My Janine A. Cook quotes for the evening. How about that? But and like I said, we'll get to the book, but opening up a bookstore, you could have opened up anything in the world. Why you say, I want to delve into this industry? Why did you want to open up and be in a bookstore, create a bookshop? Why get into this industry?
Yeah, there were so many, you know, I used to sell books outside of my university.
That's right.
I sold books on the corner. You ever see I only seen men do it. I never seen women do it. But I used to sell books outside on a table. I've done that. Like, I got to the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. The school was a beautiful school. It's an art university, but there were a lot of books that they just didn't have. Like, when you talk about growing up, where you grew up, that was just not the focus. It wasn't even considered. And I wanted to do this club. So the two always went together in my mind. Like we were talking about earlier, it's like doing community work, and the engine for doing that work has always been books for me, at least. And so I used to set up a table with a group of my friends. We started our own club because the university, they didn't understand. This happens to me a lot. I'll have an idea, nobody understands it. And so then you got to figure out how to, like, pull it off, because nobody really, they don't get it yet. And by the time they catch up with you, you on to the next thing that nobody understands, and you got to figure out how to do that too. You know, so the university was just like, well, that's not quite a club, you know, because I wanted us at an art school to go into the neighborhoods and teach storytelling using the tools that we had. And they were like, well, we were more thinking like, you know, whatever they were thinking.
Right.
And so our club would set up books in front of the school. We would, you know, have folks donate their artwork from different parts of the university, and that's how we funded the work to go out and do storytelling in the community. And so I was doing that at, you know, 18. And so it's like, it keeps, you know, certain things follow you, right? And it kept all roads keep leading back to books for me.
I love that. 18, that's a long time.
What you trying to say?
Listen. We're going to put your age out here, but you know, we ain't going to put your age out here.
I'm still 18.
No, I don't know, boo. No. You close.
You're like, that's a real long time, Janine.
That's a long time. I'm just saying. But what has surprised you most about having just this pure love of books, and then on the other hand, creating a space for books, for folks to connect in those spaces with books? What has surprised you most about that? You had a love, and then you've created this space. Has anything surprised you about merging those two?
That the community has been so uber supportive that it really can work, and that it is a partnership. You know, I tell folks, if y'all keep coming, I'ma keep going. You know, that's the agreement. and folks keep showing up, you know, and to do this work. At first I thought, oh, this is amazing, like the way the community is showing up in Philly, and then to go to Jersey and then to see a whole nother world emerge and a whole nother community be built, and then to go to Paris, where I don't even know French, right? Like, I'm like, wee wee, and I'm like, the worst. They be laughing at me like, what was that? I be like, come on, like, blah, 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 blah. You know, instead of just, But, you know, you go where you are led, right? Mm. When you get the call, no one said it was going to be easy. Mm-hmm. No one said that part, right? It's just you answer the call said do this. It's either you're going to meet it or you're not going to meet it, right? And what I say is the mothers, you know, I call them the mothers of the bookshops. They meet me halfway. So if I do my part, they do theirs, right? And so I think that is the most surprising thing, is that we could be over in Paris in the 6th arrondissement and like that folks are still coming and I'm still able to keep going, you know. Yeah. So we'll be in Paris on the 8th. So, yeah, we'll do some stuff there too.
That's going to be fire. I know when people come into our store, they're always like, "We're so glad you're here. You guys open up this bookstore." And I look them dead in their eyes and say, "I'm so glad you're here." I always tell people we could have this beautiful space here, but if nobody came into the store, we would just have this beautiful space. Yeah. Some people,
not for long.
So it is this type of relationship where it works because they come in, they believe, they support, and they shop. So not this, oh, I think I'm this because we'd open up this. It is a real thing. They come through the doors. It's humbling to me even to this day that people walk into this space. So I love that that's how you see it too.
Yeah, for sure.
Some people don't. So
for sure. I mean, and you know, and you never know who's going to walk through the doors. That's the other thing. So I was a teacher for years, and I think that was like training ground for the next phase of things. Like, you know, it seems like life is always preparing you for the next one and then the next one, and you don't know that. It's like, I know this must be something, because why would I be doing this? Mm-hmm. But you're being prepared for the next thing, right? And even the bookshops in some way prepared for the novel, and now the novel will prepare for the memoir. You know, it's like all of the pieces. The preparation and being an educator is whoever walks in that door, they belong to you now, right? And you have, they're your responsibility, and you're here to fulfill whatever it is that they're, you know, as much as you can, what they're looking for.
I love that. And so my next question is, this book, I know I keep reading all the articles. This is Janine. She's writing about herself in this book. So I got to ask you, because everybody's going to ask you. The whole tour, just know, they're going to ask you. So, but my question for you is, what are the parts that are you in the book? And what are the parts that are not? Is it all just not you?
It's not me.
Not one thing, Janine. One thing. I don't believe you. There's got to be one thing.
It's not me.
One thing. One thing.
The shopkeeper is not
me. She had a shop.
She does.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She got a bookshop.
It's called Harriet's
Bookshop.
I mean, I'm just saying. She's an introvert.
She does. She a little bit of an introvert, yep.
Okay, so what else is not you, though? I'm just saying.
It's not me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does it look like you on the phone? Okay,
she does
you.
Look a little like me. I've noticed that.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just asking.
It's a novel. It's fiction.
Okay. So you said none of the pieces are, no aspects of yourself are in the book, you don't feel.
I mean, I think that it's impossible to write without putting yourself in.
Okay.
I'm one of the things that I was interested in playing with is play. Right, like I wanted it to feel fun and playful and something that you can unpack, and you know, like that. I knew that people would be like, "Well, if it's in a Harriet's bookshop, and you know, it must be you." And I'm like, "No, it's not me." Mm-hmm. What? Really? Mm-hmm. You know, but I think also, like, it's interesting the stories we tell about ourselves, the stories that we. Like all throughout, she's telling stories, her and her sister are sharing stories, and the way in which, you know, one person's version of the story can be very different than the other. Mm-hmm. And so I think this plays with that too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean, and then for context, right, you have this shopkeeper, you really don't ever learn her name the whole time. You call her the shopkeeper. And she has given herself 30 days to get over this immense fear that she has of touch. And in order to open, you can't open a bookshop if you're too afraid to be touched by your customers and by the people in the community. And so I thought that was also a touch is a great, you know, thing to play with, because it's something that happens emotionally, mm-hmm. it happens physically, you know, coming out of COVID, so many people were touch deprived, right? And so I just thought it was something that we could, you know, we all could identify with and try to unpack in ways.
I love that you said that. That was one of my questions. Like, there's so many different things that you could have said. She has a fear of this, fear of that. But touch was the one that you said, this is what I'm going to write about. Mm-hmm. And it was because you were feeling like this is something that's so integral into how we live and how we grow and how we just survive. So touch was the thing
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, I mean, especially in our community. And then you talk about, I felt touched by mm-hmm. that, right? And so touch is not something, I think there's something in there where she's talking. She joins a writer's group mm-hmm. because she's like, well, I write, but it would be a shame to be the only person who's ever read the things that I write. So she joins a writer's group to make sure she at least has an audience mm-hmm. of those people. And she also says what works about being in a writer's group is that you're, you know, here you can touch people in ways that aren't necessarily a physical touch, but you still feel the connection. Mm-hmm. And so that's where she goes for that physical, I mean, that emotional connection, that emotional touch.
I love that. And I love, too, I'm going to go back to you. We're talking about sisters. Cause I have two other sisters. I'm the oldest. I think I'm running things. but I love that you guys wrote back to each other. I think it was every single day.
That's not me.
That's not you, right? I'm just checking.
Yeah, they keep trying to slip
sure.
me up.
I'm sure.
I called my grandma. So my grandma was reading it. She was just like, oh, and I like when you did what you were just doing when you did. And I said, Nana, that's not me. I didn't. That
fiction.
Wasn't me.
That's not fiction.
She was like, well, you and your sister was in the car. And I said, that was not me and my sister.
Girl, you're going to have a time on this tour. But I love yeah. right.
Even my Nana. I said, Nana, right. that's not me.
Grandma said, no, that's you. Mm-hmm. She did. But I just think out of all the different relationships that you could have focused on, you focused on you and your sister. Why was that an important relationship to really magnify in the book? Why was that important? You could have wrote about you and mom or you and somebody else, mm-hmm. but going back and forth in that relationship. Why are sisters?
You know, because sisters, I mean, the way I know sisterhood to be is that there's this deep honesty. Mm. But it's steeped in love, right? And so it's not like I'm being honest so I could hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. I'm being honest because I can be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And they're writing letters to each other back and forth, which I thought was like an interesting play on like Neely and Celie and Nelly, right? Like in Nettie. And being able to say, you know, in a letter you can say sometimes what you can't even say in person because there's no interruption. You could just say it all. Mm-hmm. And so she's constantly sharing with her sister and her sister's constantly sharing with her. And without giving too much away, their relationship keeps deepening and deepening through these letters.
I love it. It didn't. When I think about the relationship that I have my sisters, I just thought that would be so amazing to sit down and write to them in that way. Because mm-hmm. right now we're texting and it's mm-hmm. really short, or mm-hmm. you might get on the phone call for a little bit, but to sit down and, like you said, be honest, be transparent, just be forthcoming without any interruptions, without mm-hmm. her breaking in and saying, you did, that's
right.
wrong.
That's not what happened.
That
yeah,
part.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was beautiful. So it had me thinking like, I might sit down and write to my, I just love that. Mm-hmm. They'll have those letters to cherish for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I just love mm-hmm. that you put that
And then
the
I have pen pals in real life. Like, I'm not her, me.
Mm-hmm. You know? Okay. We'll see.
I'm not her, but I'm just saying. So you know, sure. I just happen to have had this experience in my life yes. where I do have pen pals, and I do know that those relationships have been essential to my mm-hmm. my development, my emotional development, and having a place to process life out. And feeling like it's a judgment-free zone, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad the shopkeeper has that as well.
I'm glad she does, too. Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about the shopkeeper, right. We were talking about earlier about opening up a bookshop. And in the book, it talks about, you know, she's counting down, like you said, those 30 days to opening up a bookshop mm-hmm. and the stress and trying to make all those little pieces come together mm-hmm. with opening up that space and just making sure she doesn't miss anything. Mm-hmm. What has been your biggest... fear walking into the book space? Like, or do you not have any fears about walking into the book, this industry and this space? Because your character, she had some, you know, she was just preparing for that. But how did you feel about that yourself?
You know, I think there's always, I mean, even, you know, where the Harriet's will be 6 years old in February, which is a miracle.
Yes.
For folks who don't know, we opened 6 weeks before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And for 6 months, we would build the bookshop outside. So if you imagine the stuff you see in here outside on a corner, day in, day out, and then, you know, getting, you know, dealing with the elements and also all of the things that were happening in our society. And then we made an honor system. So it was just like, because we thought our world was going to end anyway. So we were like, oh, okay, well, you know, send us what you can. and so there was just this element of, and it still feels like that, like walking on water. It still feels like a miracle every single day, right? It still feels like, you know, walk out a little further, walk out a little further, and just imagine that you are able to do that, right? Like that we are able to walk on water, that it is a miracle, but it's a living miracle and it's working.
Absolutely. And I always think, too, for a bookstore, like there's so many things historically that have impacted us as a people. And books were the things that we were hung for, we were killed for, all those different things.
Yep.
And yet here we sit in the space surrounded by the very thing really threatened our livelihood. And here you are sitting in the space of writing a book, writing the thing that we were forbidden to read and to expound upon. So for you, just reflecting upon that, have you ever taken a moment just to think like, dang, this is what I'm doing?
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing.
I mean, I think these moments are making it real to me.
Yeah.
You know, that I was telling you in the back, like I just kind of, the way my brain works is I kind of just do the next task in front of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm thinking about the big picture, but I'm also, to avoid overwhelm, I have horse blinders on both sides, and I'm just like, okay, what's the next thing? Okay, you're gonna sit with Ramona. You're not gonna think about, you know, Saturday. You're not gonna think about, you know, Paris. You're just gonna think about this day right here, this moment right now. This, you know, and it helps me tremendously to just kind of like, you know, be so consumed by all of it. But at the same time, so at Harriet's, we it's almost like a monument meets a gallery meets a bookshop, and that, you know, we change the exhibit. So you might come this time and you're in one exhibit and you're inside of one book, and then you come again and you're inside of a different exhibit. And so one of the exhibits, speaking of what you are talking about, we had in our underground, which is the basement, but it was done completely in darkness. And you come in, we give you a votive candle. You go down into the candle with your candle, you experience the bookshop by candlelight, and then we talk about, you know, well, what did that feel like when they come back upstairs? What's one word
come
that describes
on, sis.
That
come
experience?
On with the book experience.
Right,
yes.
And then people and so people come back upstairs with all types of, like, you know, because like the roof is low, and this is like, it's like, you know, imagine how many people, like, this was their whole experience, is that they had to hide, and then the other full circle piece is like, and this could come back, right? Like, don't assume that just because that will never be again, especially as we, you know, watch
Honey.
All the things that continue to unfold before our very eyes, is that the book experience is really sacred. And there could be a day that comes, according to so many of our dystopian authors,
right.
A day could return where books are not something you can have readily, you know, accessible to
Absolutely.
You. And so what are you willing to do about that? What are you willing to put on the line? And so, like the bookshop becomes like this, a place for those kind of conversations as well.
Yeah.
And the experiential. So it's like, it's not me telling you, it's you kind of coming into your own understanding of some of the things that, I'm feeling and seeing in my role as not that shopkeeper, as this shopkeeper.
This shopkeeper. Okay. Another part in the book that I love, and the main character really helps other people find love, even while struggling with her own fears. What drew you to kind of explore that type of contradiction? She's got her own thing, but she's kind of she's helping other people to explore that too. What made you say this is the route that I'm going to take?
Yeah, because I think people don't realize that shopkeepers, that bookshop folks, are really matchmakers. You know, like we might not be doing it. It's not always like, oh, I'm setting you up to go on a date, but you're like, oh, I met so and so from this place, and you need to know so and so because you know we serve as a hub. Yes. You know, and I mean at least that's my experience, and so because we're the hub, we are constantly, you know, putting people together and thinking about who might work within the community to, like, you know, go be productive together. And so I thought it was kind of a fun, you know, it's fun to think of it as, like, you know, pushing it a little further and being like, okay, now what if shopkeepers are really matchmakers in all these different ways?
Yeah. So has Janine ever been in love? Because this book is all woven in about love. Janine. I'm not talking about the shopping. I'm not talking about you right now.
Janine, of course Janine been in love. Okay, of course.
So the brother in this book, me, his name is me.
His name is me, yeah.
He's a monk in training, not a full-on monk. Why a monk in training? Why couldn't his brother be a whole monk? Why even be a monk in the first place? Then why have him in training? Why? What was that? Why, Janine? Tell us. We'll never be able to ask question again. Why? Please,
I love the opportunity for people to be like, I love me. And right. I was like, I love me too. So you know, there's all
I
of these
you know
ways,
how dope that is.
You know, there's all these ways in which you can play with this
you
idea
did, all
of this.
It.
Yeah, this person me and the way that he keeps shifting the shopkeeper's life. And then people are always just like, oh, is that me? And they'll see somebody. And I'll be like, y'all cannot do that to every person y'all see me walking down the street with.
But we will.
They'll be like, is that me? Yes. Like, he could be me. He's bald headed a little bit. Like, oh, my gosh.
Let me smell him. Yes.
And then the people who did pre-orders, they got the Egyptian month. Like, because they talk about, she talks, because she's not a, she doesn't touch,
right.
She's very fascinated by smell.
Yes.
Right? And so she's just like, whoa, you know, his scent is so significant to her. And so those people who got the pre-orders got the scent. Like, we worked with ACAF in Philly, and they developed the scent. Yeah. What's the question?
Why is he a monk in training? Why is he a monk? Why has he got to be in training? And why? You fall in love with this brother right here. The shopkeeper.
The shopkeeper is. I don't know why the shopkeeper.
Let me stay focused.
That's who walked in. That's who came into her bookshop. You know. Mm. So like I said, whoever walks in, you got to meet them where they are. But me just happened to meet her where she is. And so she talks about being able to see yourself through the eyes of the person. Like, you are always just a reflection of the people you love, right? And so the more you're looking, she's admiring him, the more it's actually just a reflection of who she really is. And so she gets to experience herself differently through him. And the other thing is that because me is a monk in training, he's hands off.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's just like, wait, what? You know,
You touch is the thing that you're not supposed to be doing, that you don't do
right.
in the book.
It's
the shopkeeper doesn't do.
Yeah, not me.
And you happen to create this, I'm trying to stay focused. But you create this person who is walking down this path of not touching and trying to be, you know, I just thought that was so interesting that, of anything that you creating this, a male character, a love interest, and a book to be a monk in training. Out of everything. Why? I haven't heard why. I still haven't heard yet. Why a monk? Why?
Because I
why
think,
your imagination
so
go there for that?
In certain ways, I think that the work that you do, right, is a full dedication to the craft. Mm-hmm. It's morning, noon, and night. You're fully devoted to your calling. Mm-hmm. And I think a monk or a monk in training is doing the same thing. Like, they're trying to learn how to be fully devoted to their craft. And so that's kind of where that emerged.
Okay, I'm just checking. I know the shop.
You trying to see if Janine actually has
saying,
a monk somewhere
know,
in training?
Maybe. Let me go to Fishtown and find out. Let me just see. We'll see. You're so crazy. I think for me, I'm also just wondering. It was something that was on my. I'm 50 years old. I'm trying, the mind be slipping. Right? But it was something.
18 was so long ago.
So long ago. It really was. It really was. But I embraced it.
That's right.
I embraced it. But was there anything, as you were writing this book, again, this is your debut novel, yeah. It's Me, They Follow. Was there something anything that surprised you as you were writing it? Like, oh, like this was in me to put on this page. Was there anything, a passage, a line, anything?
It's constantly surprising. Really? Because you know what? There's so many, I was saying this to my cousin earlier, and thank you. So shouts to my cousin, because I don't know who in the family. A family got together and was like, somebody send somebody with Janine out on the road, because we don't know what she's going to do out there. Is she going to, you know, go hide somewhere and not show up for her event? But but she was saying to me earlier just about this idea of, what was the question? I'm going to make sure I'm hitting it.
You bad as me. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm not 50, but I'm almost 50. I'm like 100 for real on the inside.
Yes, go. Right. Was there like a passage or a part of the book that surprised you? Like,
I'm very surprised at all of the clues that are there. Mm-hmm. And it's very layered. So if you want to just read it straight through, you can. If you want, but if you're the observational type, you like to play games, you like puzzles, you like a little bit of mystery, you like Easter eggs, there's plenty of that too, if that's your jam. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was surprised that that could, you know, that could make, like I could pull that off. Mm-hmm. Because it is a lot of weaving, you know?
Yeah. What do you feel? We're going to give an Easter egg. What do you feel like one of the Easter eggs in this book that you would love to share with your audience today? So as they read it, they come across, be like, oh, she was talking about this at the book signing. Yeah. What's one that you want to share with us so they can keep an eye out for it as they read it?
So there's a lot of, even though it's a written book, there's a lot of oral storytelling tradition in there. And one of the things is, like, you hear repetition a lot. The path with no beginning is worth beginning. It's worth it to walk it, to stomp it, to drag it, to drip it. And all throughout, she keeps hearing these passages. Or, like, my grandma says, my grandma says, my grandma says, my grandma used to say, you know, like these, all of these things, which, you know, if you're of a certain tradition, those grandma sayings will be very familiar to you. Mm-hmm. And so there's those Easter eggs are kind of woven in, which is like the ways in which we are culturally connected without necessarily noticing it. And then I think there's Easter eggs around, like, you know, foods and music and, you know, there's all these, like, all this sweetness in there, right? And so there's certain times, like, when we have, you know, we develop the honey, you know? So it's like I got to do the partnership things that I like to do in the bookshop through the book. So we worked with a group called the Wine Room Collective, and they developed the honey that was infused with the herbs that are in the book. So I'm really into, like, this inside-outside of the world that we've built. So when you come, you can experience the shopkeeper's life. That's not my life.
We'll see.
It's hers. but you can experience some of the things she's experienced in real life, too.
What's going on, family? This is Derek Young.
And Ramonda Young.
Owners of both Mahogany Books and the Mahogany Books Podcast Network.
We really want to thank each and every one of you for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed what you just heard, drop us a review and rate us on whatever platform you download podcasts on.
We truly appreciate each and every one of you for supporting us and making us your go-to for Black books. And we look forward to connecting with you all sometime in the future.
Thank you again, fam. And always remember, Black books matter. I have a couple more questions, and then I want to open it up to the audience. Let me see.
Like, you're making my dreams come true right now.
Girl,
I feel like
Janine,
I'm like a real author now.
Listen, can you believe we're having this talk, ma'am? Yes,
I'm like a real author.
Can you believe we're sitting here in this space having this talk together?
It's wild,
Janine.
It's wild.
And you're doing a whole. I was about to cuss. A whole ass book tour.
Yeah.
Like, have you sat and just processed that? We were talking about a little bit, but have you really processed that?
I don't
yet?
Think so. No. I told you, I just do the thing in front of me, you know? So this is the thing that they, because, you know, if I start thinking about it, like, oh, you going to 12 cities, and, you know, who's going to show up, and what if they don't, and what if this, and what if that? Like, some of the anxiety will take over the joy. Yeah. And so I'm just the thing in front of you. That's it.
It's okay.
You know that walk on water, that's my Nana, right?
Come on.
And not her grandmother, mine. Mm-hmm. Yes. But my Nana talks a lot about that analogy of walking on water. And what happens in that story, that biblical story, is that Peter gets this idea, right? That he thinks he sees a ghost in the distance. Then he's like, no, that's the Messiah. And then he says, if you're the Messiah, tell me to come to you. Mm-hmm. And he says, all right, come. Mm-hmm. And then Peter stands up and gets up off the boat and starts walking on the water. And he's like having this immense faith walk.
Absolutely.
And one of the things she pointed out to me the other day was like, notice none of the other disciples got off the boat. Only Peter decided he had enough faith to go walk out. But then the contrarian wind started to blow. And as he's already doing the miracle, he starts to be like, I can't do this no more. And he starts to sink immediately, right? He lost his faith. Mm-hmm. And so Nana, she gives me this story over and over again. It reminds me like, you know, keep on walking, keep on walking. You're already on the water, right? You're already there, right? Like the only thing you have to do is when you hear and see you see that contrarian wind blow, name it for what it is and keep on walking.
Stay focused.
So that's a Nana-ism. Yeah, that's a Nana-ism for sure.
We could have had church right. Pass the cash app offering. No, I'm just joking. No, we won't.
Buy the book.
That part. Speaking of Messiah, how does your family feel about this book?
Yeah.
Have they processed that this is happening? Have you talked to your family? Have you talked to your mom? I'm a mom. Have you talked to your child who's How are they processing this?
I think everybody's interested in the story, right?
Okay.
Like what's happening. Mm-hmm. So Jala, like my cousin's here, right? So people are like, I feel like they're looking at me and they're like, is this you? Like, you know, like it's almost like folks feel like they're looking at the inside of me. Mm-hmm. Almost like I'm having a public private moment with the world. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not me. That's why I don't understand why they keep feeling so, but anyway. So I think that everyone's kind of taking it and unfolding it differently. Mm-hmm. My grandma's like, Janine, I haven't felt like I could read a book. My Nana is like almost 90, right? So I've been spending all this time with these 85 plus old people right now on this part of my walk. Mm-hmm. Maybe to ground me and make sure that I'm like, I have what I need. My agent is 80 something years old. Mm-hmm. Shouts to Miss Marie. Right, who is like, I've been in this industry longer than your mama was born. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, and you better listen and shut up. You know, like.
Yes, that's a needed voice.
Right, you need it. Just like, okay, getting in there, you got it, you do it, you keep walking. You know, mm-hmm. like that same sense, right? Whether it's her or Mama Sonia or Nana or whoever, right? Like, just having that kind of wise woman in the ear, and that you hear her and see her and experience her in the book. And I think we all have her, and if we don't, go find her. Mm-hmm. You know, I imagine that there are some very wise women sitting somewhere in some of these nursing homes and some of these spaces mm-hmm. that could, you know, very well be giving us a lot of jewels that we, you know, they say that they're, you know, those are our libraries,
absolutely.
Right? And so
absolutely.
That is our responsibility and our right to go get it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. Everybody's doing it their way. And some of it, I got to, again, put the horse blinders on. I don't want to hear. I can't take everybody's advice.
Sure.
The same thing like with the bookshop, right? Mm-hmm. You can't take everybody's like, well, this is what I think you should be doing. You've never done this.
That part, girl.
And so mm-hmm. I get you. I know you mean well, but this is the call on my life. I gotta answer that call, you know, even though it doesn't necessarily make sense to you. Mm-hmm. But that's my responsibility.
I love that. So when you think about, and I know you're saying one day at a time, a day at a time. But when you look back, what do you want your legacy to be, Janine? Mm. What does that look like for you? What does that feel like?
Oh, wow. That's a great question, Ramonda. I think that, you know, there is a line in there where she says, that, you know, he wants her to make the book out to their great-great-grandchildren, you know? And I think that, and that's even when I've been signing, like, they had us do, like, some pre-events. Yeah. I've been signing it to our great-great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, there's a part of me that understands that what I'm doing right now really doesn't have much to do with the right now, mm-hmm. and that it is for them, and that there will be a time where I believe, you know, the work that we've done and what we're doing mm-hmm. is really for them, and that it'll be a roadmap and ways that some of one of my grandmothers was completely illiterate. Mm-hmm. She couldn't leave me a book, you know. She couldn't do that, mm-hmm. But we can, and I think we must.
Janine, yes, you did it. You're doing it. I'm so honored.
It's so honored
to have you here.
I can only do it again. Sit, back to the book. Mm-hmm. We're in partnership, you know, right? And to have Mahogany Books say, "Yeah, we co-sign," and she, this
all
is
day.
Right. It makes other people like, "Oh, well, mm-hmm. this must be legit." If Ramona says it's legit, it's legit.
It's legit. It's legit.
So then it opens other doors. So I appreciate you just saying a yes.
It was an easy yes. I'm not just saying because people. It was an easy yes.
Yeah.
Easy, yes. I'm just delighted. I feel like I was telling you back there. I feel like I wrote the book. I ain't wrote the book. I couldn't even imagine going through all. But I say you stand out in front of so many of us who have stories, who are in these spaces that are trying to make sure that these stories still exist and are on these shelves and not rewritten and rethought of and reimagined by some other folks.
Right.
But they exist as though they are. Yeah. And you're here with this one and you're coming out with your memoir.
Yeah.
So I just want to make space to honor you for taking the step. For being courageous and writing your shopkeeper story on the pages for all of us to have. So thank you for that. Thank you for sharing it with us.
We do it in partnership. You know, please tell people, read it, tell people about it. You know, hit me up, ask me the questions. It's not me, or you could already get that out the way.
It's going to be asked also.
You could already get that out the way. But also, just I've found that a lot of my book people are actually, you know, writers in hiding, you know, and they're closeted and they want to do it, but they don't know if they can or they're kind of stuck. And my hope is that by just the same thing with the bookshop as the book is that folks will be inspired to just walk on the water. Keep on coming.
Stay focused.
Yeah, keep going.
I love that.
Keep going. Keep going. Get across the line.
Yeah.
You know, go and get off the boat.
That part.
And walk. Yeah.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you. So I want to open it up if anybody has questions tonight, or we can just have one-on-one questions with her. I see a question in the audience. Yes. Do I need to hold a mic to do the question, or you're good? Okay. Just speak loud.
First of all, you don't know me.
Yes, I do. I do know her well.
The cover. How did we land on the cover? Mm-hmm. I'm always interested in that.
That's such a great question.
And what role did you, how much of a role did you play?
Huge.
I do have bookshops, and the first round of covers, you know, bless their soul, they were kind and sweet, but it had to reflect me and think again back to Miss Marie, who was just like, whatever your vision is, you tell them your vision. Mm-hmm. This is your book. You don't let up. Don't let up on what it is that you see in your mind. And so there is a photograph of me that's very similar to this picture. But it's a book. The book that I'm holding is Sonia Sanchez's book.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent that to them. And I was just like, this image is the image that I kind of see in my mind. Is there a way for us to kind of like work together toward this image? And it took some time, but you know, the Harper team, the Amistad team, they've been really beautiful to work with. Like they were willing to experiment with me and like, you know, listen to my strange ideas and right. Like they just were willing. And I think because I'm from the book space, mm-hmm. I think they also understood that I was coming at it with ideas that weren't just like based in, you know, pure frivolousness, like they were based in reality and certain things that I see or want to see. The other thing is, like, there's just this element of mystery here that I think really works. It's a piece of art in itself, so it lives on the shelf even as artwork, and that's one of the things that I was kind of like compelled by. One of the things that got caught up was the color. There was like, you know, there was a different color that they had said, you know, we were going back and forth about. Miss Marie actually was just like, Janine, again, go in there and find the color that you really, really want. Abby was like, Janine, I'm gonna trust you, because Abby was like, I think it should be purple. And I was just like, I don't know. She was like, well, red, it might feel scary, it might feel, you know, like, and so we both, you know, everyone had like their input, but they also kept on like allowing me to be like, well, you know, the book is coming out at the fall equinox, like, like, this feels right to me. Also, there's all these, like, apples in the book. Like, there's all these.
So many nuggets.
It's so many things happening. But so I thought that that was also a nice way to connect all the pieces.
I love that. I love that. I see a question over here. Yes.
So I'm sure you write a lot of books, a lot of books that pass through your hands. How did you know when it was Umbrie Dwyer?
You know, it's the same thing as opening the bookshop. It's any call, right? Like, if I ask anybody in this room right now, what is the call that you hear on your life that you just need to answer the phone? Or, you know, you hear it, sometimes it starts off as a whisper, and you're like, what? I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do it later, you know? And then you don't realize, like, later is now, you know? If we would have waited mm-hmm. 6 weeks, right, to open the bookshop, there would be no bookshop. That it just wouldn't have happened. And I had that thing inside of me that was just like, I don't know if I'm ready. Wait, maybe we need to wait. Maybe just one more month. Just mm-hmm. one more month. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's not, like they talk about when the idea, when the time is come, you have to birth that thing, right? Or like you can't just hold it in. It's not because. I got this thing where I believe, like, if it's trying to come through you, it's trying to come through you for a reason, right? It's specific to you, but you know it ain't gonna wait for you either, right? And so if you're gonna keep holding up the process, guess what? Somebody else will pick up the phone, and somebody mm-hmm. else will answer the call, and somebody else will get it done, because that's just how it works. Yeah, yeah. And so it was just time, and I think. You know, now that I look back on the process, you know, my dad had been telling me forever, like, two things. He's like, oh, you funny. You like Tina Fey. And I'll be like, Daddy, no, I'm not. You know, like, he was like, you could do, you're like, he swore, you could do stand-up. And then the other thing was, and you need to write books. And I mean, he would tell me that. I'd be like, yeah, Daddy, I know. And then my dad died in the middle of me writing the book. Mm. Right, like the book was due November, my dad died in October. Right, and I think it was like, ooh, you know, you start to come, you know, you feel it different, where it's just like, I've been telling you this all your life, like, he's never gonna get to experience this side of it, you know? And not to like guilt myself in any way, but it's just like, wow, like it's not promised to us. Tomorrow is not, like, come on, right? Like, answer that call. And I literally, if there's anything you walk away with tonight, it's just please answer it. Answer the call, because it's not just for you.
Ooh, come on.
Right? It's not. Like the Mahogany Books was not just for you, and you know what I mean? Like it was for all of us. And if you wouldn't answer that call, look at how many lives would be. I couldn't sit here with you right now if you didn't answer the call when you did. And so it's a collective call in this way. It's just coming through you as the instrument. And so answer, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. Another question.
Yeah.
Sure. Congratulations on the book.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to write it. And I'm excited to get it by green milk and just, you know, just get into it. And second of all, you went to school with my son, Nick Mack.
Oh, yes! Oh my God!
Yeah, so he said to tell you how well he didn't tell. He wanted to come back. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Just tell Nick I said you are in church.
Yeah.
Tell Nick I said thank you so much.
Yeah. Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to get him a book.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and now UArts doesn't even exist anymore. That school where we met is no longer, right? And that's, again, that's what I'm saying. Like, today is the day, you know.
Wow. We have time for one more question. I see a hand up in the back.
Yeah.
Since you're from Philly, we've had a lot of great artists come out of Philly. What is your favorite song or album that you played during?
I'm so glad you asked that. I mean, there's so much music in this book.
So much. So much.
There's a lot of music in this book. But your shopkeeper, she's also like, she's quirky. And so she listens to Jill Scott's first album over and over and over. Let's take a long walk. I can't say. Around the pond. For us, it's what? A conversation. A verbal relation. Exhilaration. Situation. Temptation.
I was like,
relaxation. And so even if we don't know the words, you know, like
we in the moment.
It's a collective joy, a collective, you know. Absolutely. Especially for a generation, right? That it really does become our common language.
I love that. I love when you have that na 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 na.
Yeah.
That Will Smith. That's in the first few, all through. That cracked me up. But music was an integral part of the book from beginning to end.
Yeah,
it was dope. So thank you all for coming out. Please give it up for the amazing Janine A. Cook.
Thank y'all so much.
Get the book. It's Me They Follow. Yep. It is an amazing read over these long holiday breaks, over the winter break. To curl up with the book, this is the one to do so with. So thank you, Janine.
Yes, thank y'all
you
so
much. You did it, the first one. Woo!
What's going on, family? This is Derek Young.
And Ramonda Young.
Owners of both Mahogany Books and the Mahogany Books Podcast Network.
We really want to thank each and every one of you for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed what you just heard, drop us a review and rate us on whatever platform you download podcasts on.
We truly appreciate each and every one of you for supporting us and making us your go-to for Black books. And we look forward to connecting with you all sometime in the future.
Thank you again, fam. And always remember, Black books matter.
Imagine a world where overnight everything changes. A world reshaped by an unexplainable event that forces Black people to redefine identity, power, and belonging. What's up, book lovers? This is Derek, co-owner of Mahogany Books and your friendly neighborhood bookseller. That's the World debut author Sebo Campbell creates A Sky Full of Elephants, my favorite read of 2024. Thought-provoking, gripping, and impossible to put down, this novel challenges everything you think you know about identity and community. It's a must-read you won't soon forget. Get your copy today at mahoganybooks.com. Use the code FRONTROW for a special discount.